T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Opinion, how you judge certain people.
Where that gets sticky is Kapler says he's a pro. A lot of people feel Segura is lazy on a routine basis. In fact, what was it, Scott Service in Seattle?
Right.
Sat him down before he came over to Philly because, you know, has a history of just not running out. And a lot of guys are like this. It's not a cardinal sin, but, you know, it's August. It's late in the year. You might not be competitive. You pop out. You're frustrated. You're not going to put a full hustle into first base. Fine. But a guy got hurt here. Kapler went to bat for him. So you got to figure the players like the fact that he's out there standing up for him because they know they're taking heat from the media, but then at the same time, you know, where do you draw the line? Where do you send the message that that type of play is unacceptable?
And not all players, I'm sure, are happy that he got off scot-free in this. And it's unintended consequences that he gets hurt, because you see the play, and I was just watching it as you were playing that audio, and Segura goes down to a knee after he hits the ball. He could have bounced up and run it out, and had he run it out, they don't throw the ball to first base and get McCutchen in the rundown that tears up his knee. Unintended consequences.
Right.
The greater point, though, to me is a player in any circumstance, when they don't run out a ball like that, that should be an automatic immediate benching. Now, you don't have to go out on the field and take the guy off the field, but you absolutely have to do something in that moment to let the player know that that's not okay. It's kind of like if a quarterback low throws a pick, and then the DB's running back with it, and the quarterback has a chance to go over and push him out of bounds, and he turns it down and lets the guy go in and score. It's a situation where you got to at least try, make a little bit of an effort. And if he doesn't discipline the player in this case, there's going to be at least one guy in the locker room thinking, oh, okay, I'm not running out blank now. Next time I hit a pop fly, I'm going to just go straight to the dugout.
The other element here that people miss, and this is what Kapler's going to have to be mindful of taking over for Bruce Bochy, is that in Philadelphia, one of the previous managers, Charlie Manuel, who won the World Series in 2008, would routinely bench Jimmy Rollins, the star of the team, when Rollins wouldn't hustle down the first base. There were noticeable blowups on several occasions in which Rollins was lazy late in the season, wouldn't run it out, Manuel would bench him, and Rollins would have to go eat his humble pie, and he would be mad about it, and it would be a talking point. But ultimately, the fan base liked that. If you're not going to hustle, and the star player's not going to hustle, and you're going to get punished for it, they're going to rally behind that. They're not going to say, what are you doing to Jimmy? Jimmy should have been hustling out to first. He's the leader, and when he takes the playoff, it sets a bad message. So here comes Kapler a few years later with a fan base that is off the World Series, you know, a decade prior. They had a great team, but when the manager there, who's beloved, would sit down the stars because they wouldn't hustle, and then you got this guy from Seattle who's not hustling, and it ends up costing you McCutchen, there's going to be some outrage there.
How much is it etiquette, Joe, in that opinion? So how much is it players' etiquette where you say, God, the guy's going to, you know, it's an easy catch, baseball, because I don't know. How much is it as etiquette, Dibs and Joe, that the guy say, look, he pulls it,
just jog it out. Just jog it out. I don't think anyone's going to yell at you if you don't sprint down the first. You see this with Buster, too. Buster knows if it's a pop-up, he's not going to go wasting all that gas. It's like the 33rd game of the NBA season. You're not going to see guys diving on the court for the loose ball.
Right.
Game 6 of the NBA Finals, you're going to get that. Why am I blanking on his name?
Clayton Kershaw?
No,
Clay Matthews.
Clay Thomas. Clay Thompson.
That's it. How did I lose that name?
Kept playing it up.
I was sitting here, I'm thinking, you know, because Clay Travis is on in the morning, and it gets me all, it's like, that's too loud for the morning.
Right.
But, okay, Clay Thompson.
Right.
If it's game 33, Clay Thompson is not running back onto the court with a torn ACL to knock down his free throw, then yelling at Bob Myers that he's going to get back on defense and try to continue playing, right? So it's understandable if you're not going to run it out. You're not going to dive for loose balls, and Posey does it and everyone does it. You're not going to sprint full tilt to first. Segura barely bothered. He couldn't even be bothered with going through the motions. You got to go through the motions. That's the thing. At least show that you somewhat care and no one will get upset. But when it flies in the face, when you disrespect everybody with the notion of, I'm not even going to go through that, that's a problem. Because remember, You're making millions. You get to play baseball for a living. Right. It's tough to get people who are working construction jobs, who are roofing in 100-degree heat, to go, oh, it's okay if you don't want to run that one out. If you don't even want to bother attempting to run it out, we understand. Philly's a blue-collar town. They're never going to support something like that.
Coach, it's 90 feet. We're not asking you to run 26.2 miles here in under 2 hours and break the marathon record. We're asking for 90 feet here. And in this case...
And you can still jog.
Yeah, the ball hits the dirt, and he realizes, uh-oh, then he does break into a sprint, but he's out by 20 feet. We actually saw it from a Braves player this year in the postseason. Guy hit it off the wall and had to settle for a single. I think that was game one against the Nationals. It was not Ozzie Albies.
Really?
It was Acuna Jr.
Acuna
hits one off the wall, didn't run it out, had to settle for a single. He didn't score the run. They ultimately lost that game. They lost the series to Washington. So you have to, and it's to your thing, etiquette. It's just the golden rule of baseball.
Right.
When you hit the ball, the rule in baseball, this is not cricket where you have a choice of whether or not to run or not. Baseball, you hit the ball, you run to first base. It's as simple as you snap the ball and then you actually move off the line of scrimmage.
Gary Sanchez, too, the catcher of the Yanks. He'd be the first guy at the front of the line advocating for a rule that if he homers, can he just turn around and go to the dugout? Can he not run the bases? Sanchez routinely does not want to be bothered with the idea. This is the very idea of having to move at faster than a leisurely walk appears to bother Gary Sanchez.
And that was Bonds, too, but at least Bonds would saunter down toward first in the neighborhood of first. In this case, that's an absolutely benchable offense. And then for Gabe Kapler to go on the radio and outright defend the fact that he didn't discipline him and he tried to change the subject and that other thing, it was just a bad tactic.
But he's still defending his guy. You have to like that. Like, he's going to bat for his guy, and you got to figure he goes in there and he sits down with Segura, and it's like, you hear that heat I'm taking for you? Do you hear the heat I'm taking for you publicly? I think we don't need to talk about this anymore. The next time you're popping up, you're going to be jogging down to first base.
Yeah, and for me, I love when guys hit the home run and they take their time going around, especially like Edwin when he holds that arm up and just runs around the base. Sometimes you like to see guys. It's nothing wrong with it. I think it's a showmanship.
If you've hit the ball over the fence and it's a home run, you can pimp it as much as you want to pimp it. Now, if you want to get thrown at later, if you show the pitcher up, that's a different story. But when you hit the ball in play, especially with a runner on first, the second baseman, Kinsler, he sees what's playing out and allows it to just drop in front of him, double play.
Smart play.
Now you're hurting your team.
Very heads-up play, literally and figuratively. Joe in Concord. Joe, thank you for the phone call and for the patience in waiting on hold. What are your thoughts on the Gabe Kapler hire?
You know, I think it's going to be fine. I think we just need to give him a chance. You know, I've been a big Giants fan for my whole life. First thing I would do, just get rid of the old core, bring in some new guys. Not only do we shed some money off the contract, but, you know, Brandon Belt, he's so hard to watch. Brandon Crawford, I can go ahead and deal with because his defense is spectacular. But Buster Posey, he's had so many injuries, and I don't think that he's still got the power. We got Joey Bart down there. We need to bring him up, find somebody new at first base, maybe with a little bit more power, and then see how it goes.
Appreciate the phone call. I will tell you this, history is littered, and it's not just baseball history. It's littered with managers and coaches who did not perform well in their first stint on the job, got a second chance, the fan base wasn't excited about it, and they went on to have great careers. You do realize Bill Belichick was the head coach of the Cleveland Browns before he got to New England, right? He learned some big-time lessons there. Pete Carroll, who was he the head coach of, like the Jets or the Patriots? He was in there. He was a mess. He stunk. Now he's fantastic. Went to USC and was awesome, and is awesome with the Seattle Seahawks. And if you go through baseball history, Terry Francona was nothing in Philadelphia. He went to Boston and he won two World Series. Bobby Cox, he had two stints that were nah. No one was excited about him. He went on to be a legend. Joe Torre was 134 games under as the manager of the New York Mets from 77 to 81. All he did with the Yanks was go to 12 straight playoffs. 12 straight. Won four World Series, lost two. What a bum he turned out to be. And then most recently, A.J. Hinch. A.J. Hinch is having all this success with the Astros, right? Does everyone forget with the Diamondbacks? 09-010. Barely there. 89-123. And Houston gives him the keys. Houston says, for the entire rebuild, when we're finally ready to make the move, you're going to be the guy. You think anyone in Houston was excited about the A.J. Hinch hire? And now they've gone to two World Series and won one. A lot of people to credit for that, but at the same time, he was the guy. And don't forget, your beloved Bruce Bochy, he was pretty good in San Diego. Then he came to San Francisco and won three World Series. Like, it's not the end of the world if a guy didn't succeed in his first stop. Sometimes we need those learning experiences.
And ultimately, it comes down to more than just the manager and how he manages the team. It's how Farhan Zaidi and the new GM comprise the team. What do they put together for the team to fit this ballpark? And how does this team ultimately perform for the manager? So it's more intertwined than just, is he a good manager? Is this a good team? Because Philadelphia, they might take off this year under new direction, new management. They might fall back. You just don't know how the player is going to mesh with the manager. And until you get a bigger sample size than just two seasons, it's really tough to measure how good Gabe Kapler will be.
Let's get into the controversy that a lot of people are talking about. This hire isn't controversial because Kapler was two games under 500 in his 2 years with Philadelphia. I'll break the schedule down for you in a little bit, and I'll show you the concern in Philly is the fact that 2 years in a row he had a playoff team at the All-Star break, and they faded in a bad way both seasons. The guy in the month of September was terrible, but again, it's not all on him. That's my concern from a managerial standpoint. Then there's this concern. This is a story from February 1st, 2019. So, what, 8, 9 months ago. It comes out in the Washington Post. I'm going to read directly from it. This is what has the fan base concerned. In February 2015, according to a police report and emails obtained through open records requests, a 17-year-old girl sent an alarming email to Gabe Kapler, then director of player development for the Los Angeles Dodgers. The girl had been partying a few nights before with two Dodgers minor leaguers and two women, she wrote, drinking Ciroc vodka and dancing in one of the players' hotel rooms here near the Dodgers spring training complex. After consuming about half the bottle, the girl wrote, she vomited on the bed, angering the two women, who threw her out of the room, kicking and punching her in the process. Rather than come to her aid, according to the girl, one of the Dodgers players videotaped the beating on his phone and then posted the video on Snapchat. This is me jumping in here. The other Dodger player at this point was passed out on the bed. Back to the article. Quote, the boys got me drunk and the girls beat me up, she wrote. Your player videotaped it all. Kapler didn't contact police, records show, nor did others with the Dodgers he consulted. Instead, Kapler tried to arrange a dinner with the girl and the players and engaged in discussions with the girl's grandmother. It goes on. The next week, the girl's case manager with Arizona's Department of Child Safety contacted police. When officers interviewed the girl hours later, according to the report, she offered an even darker account of the evening. Before the beating, the girl told police, one of the Dodgers players had sexually assaulted her as she lay on the bed, struggling to remain conscious. Now, because Kapler didn't report this to the police, he was with Zaidi in Los Angeles at the time, so this falls on Zaidi's plate, too. A lot of people are questioning the decision-making, right? The decision-making. We live in a culture now where moments like this become very, very big. Do they become too big is the question? Do people deserve second chances? What are the full details on the story? Yesterday, knowing this was going to be a big deal, when Farhan Zaidi, the president of baseball operations for the San Francisco Giants, talked to the media on a conference call last night following the news of the hire, he had a quote ready. Obviously, there's been stuff written over the last couple weeks over the incident in Los Angeles. To be honest, it's given me a chance to reflect on those incidents and how we handled them as an organization. We've had the opportunity to talk to people in the community and talk to experts to try and learn and understand what we did and what we did wrong. As I've had time to reflect on it, I realized the biggest mistake we made was asking the wrong questions. In those situations, we asked, what do we have to do? Instead of, what is the right thing to do? I can only speak for myself. I'm truly sorry that from my perspective, I didn't ask the right questions and address things properly or appropriately. Excuse me. I view it as a learning experience, and it's something I want to take into the future in the organization and hold us to that higher standard. How outraged slash alarmed should we be about this? How outraged slash alarmed are you about this?
We should be a little bit alarmed, and I don't necessarily think we should be that outraged because mistakes were made. Farhan Zaidi yesterday addressed it to his point of they need to be better and he's learned from it. Now we'll hear from Gabe Kapler today. I know he'll be introduced at Oracle Park today as the next manager of the San Francisco Giants, and I hope that he's asked a question about what happened, what he learned from that situation, and that way he has a chance to address it openly. Because you mentioned it before, the Giants have put this hire out under the brightest possible light during football season. It's a Wednesday. You got the day to yourself, San Francisco Giants, and here comes your new manager. So he has a chance to be up there. And I wonder if Larry Bear will be up there as well, or if it'll just be Farhan Zaidi and the new GM. The optics of the event today, how Gabe Kapler goes about addressing this incident that happened. And it's a terrible incident, and there's more details. And if you're really that interested in it, you can do the research and you can find out. It was a bad, bad situation, and it was handled very badly. Does he deserve a second chance? I think he does, but I will be eager to hear how he addresses it and how the Giants decide to address it today when he's introduced.
What do you make of it? Should we be outraged? Is it proper to be outraged? Sometimes I get lost in some of this stuff. You want to give people the benefit of the doubt. You want to give people second chances, but you also can't overlook things like this. And there are people that are outraged, but we also live in a society sometimes where there's extreme outrage. I'm trying to find the proper balance here. It's confusing to me.
It's confusing, I think, to a lot of people. And I think that it wouldn't be just if you didn't say, hey, look, I need to know. People say, oh, well, you just got to forgive and move on. I get that. And like Dib says, does people deserve second chances? Yes, and I get that as well. If you have a son or a daughter, and you guys, we all do, and they're getting ready, they go to college and you're going through that process, and if they happen to play a sport, you want to know the men they're going to be around. You want to know the coaches they're going to be around. You want to know who they're going to be around. What's the university about? What's the academic about? All those different things. You want to know these things. Now you're a situation that you're a fan, and also you're an organization that bring in a guy that's had, you know, a situation dealing with something that happens quite often in sports and different things and just in life, people dealing with craziness. So what do? You got to be able to answer those questions, because it's only right that you answer those questions. The fans want to know, organization wants to know, because you want to know the guy that's going to be representing a club that you have not, you have the right. You don't, it's not, you have the right to earn their money, the fans' money. You don't have necessarily, it's a privilege that as fans to buy tickets and do those things. So if you want them to have that privilege, they have to know what's going on. So I don't see it as a bad thing, Joe, that you're saying, hey, is it wrong for me to want to know, hey, have the handles? Without a doubt, it's not. I think that's fair. And I think the 49ers and the Giants and Farhan understood that when they made this hire, that you're going to have to answer these questions.
I get up and I address it right away. Full accountability. If you want to start this thing on the right foot with the fans and the media and everything else, you're not going to try to hide from anything. They've known for weeks that if this is the guy, they were going to deal with this. So just get out in front of it. Be accountable for all of it. The world wants authenticity. The world wants accountability. That's what people are looking for. If you give that to them, it's easier for them to process what you've put in front of them. Right now, a lot of people are concerned about this. They see these details. They're worried. You're moving from Bruce Bochy to a guy who was apparently involved in a situation where he didn't report to police a sexual assault of a 17-year-old girl on his watch. That's not going to make people who love Bruce Bochy comfortable. That's not something you would hear about with Bochy. So when this is the new guy, when you've been told it's going to be a rebuild, it's going to be a new organization, a new day's coming, that's not going to get people off on the right foot. You have to address that. You have to be transparent about it. You have to be accountable for it. You got to answer all the questions. And if you do that, you can begin the process of taking the next step forward with the team. Brian in Los Altos. Brian, thank you for the phone call. What's going on? Your thoughts on the Gabe Kapler hire?
Hey, thanks for taking my call, guys. Great show.
Thank you.
Long time Giants fan, and you know, the move from Bochy, I think it was time. So I guess I'm ready for something new. And although this, you know, the details are a little bit murky or what are coming out, I agree with your comments about accountability. And you know, we need to address it and get the fresh start. The question that I have for you is, this guy has played for, I think, 7 professional teams, including a stint in Tokyo for the Yomiuri Giants. You know, he's been a manager, so he's been around the league, so a lot of people know him. And my question is this, is how much depth in background checks, in sort of side channel checks on this hire do you think Scott Harris and Farhan Zaidi did? And are you guys, you know, do you have information and feel comfortable about this choice? Because I really don't know the guy. I think it's, you know, he's got just such an interesting background, and so I'm actually excited, and I want to give him a chance. I believe in second chances, and I think this is a guy that's worth the second chance. I'll take the answer off the air.
Ah, right at the end there, you're gonna push Dibs over the edge with that one.
Guess I'm going to Los Altos today. Come see you, Brian.
Fair questions. I would say if we were, and I don't know this person, I didn't speak to him on it, but I would find it hard to believe that someone like Farhan Zaidi, with the biggest decision he has to make in his biggest job ever, which is president of baseball operations for the San Francisco Giants, he's going to be pretty thorough with the investigation that goes into the hire of the guy who's going to replace the beloved Hall of Fame skipper, Bruce Bochy. I think they're going to be pretty thorough. It's going to be the opposite of what Ryan Pace did in Chicago with Deshaun Watson. You see this? Admitted he didn't even get that thorough with Watson.
When they drafted Trubisky,
they were like, we didn't really even sit down with him.
If you did that, you just be quiet.
Does it surprise you they're not winning right now?
No. You don't tell anyone. Oh, I didn't even look
at
it.
That whole organization, stop talking. Stop talking about turning off TVs. Stop talking about everything.
Everybody, stop
talking. That's rule number one there. But that's the point. I think they were extraordinarily thorough. I don't think they'd put a whole lot of risk in just saying, you know what, Kapler sounds good. Sounds good. I never met him, but let's take a shot. It's Larry's money anyway.
No.
All right, we see people in the Mita, Brandon in the Mita.
Hang tight,
all the people we're going to put you through.
Brandon.
We want to hear from the Billions. Steve Mariucci on how the Niners bounce back. Some troubling news on Emmanuel Sanders. Some troubling news on Dante Pettis. The injuries keep mounting up. It's all brought to you by Fremont Bank. Full service banking, no compromises. Go to Fremont Bank. Don't suffer a rib injury. That happens on the football field, not at Fremont Bank. They'll take care of you. Here's Anna with what's coming up on the game.
All right, thanks, Joe. What's coming up on the game is sponsored by Nutrisystem for Men. The Giants have found their new manager, former Philly skipper Gabe Kapler. The team will introduce their 39th manager today in a press conference at noon, and we'll air it right here on 95.7 The Game. But who is Gabe Kapler, and what did Farhan Zaidi see in him, and will he be the best match for the current roster? Joe Lo and Dibs will discuss. 49ers have been flexed in. Niners and Packers will be on the primetime spot Sunday night game, week 12. And the Week 16 Niners and Rams matchup has been moved to Saturday night. How will the Niners continue to handle the spotlight? And how will they rebound after the loss to the Seahawks? Former Niner coach Steve Mariucci will join the show next. Warriors hit the road next up L.A. to face LeBron and the Lakers tonight. Coverage starts Warriors Live at 5:30. Tip-off at 7. Lose weight eating the food you love. Now save $50 plus get a week of protein pack shakes free at Nutrisystem.com/radio. Restrictions apply. Caller see website for details. I'm Anna Kugadike on the Bay Area's number one sports station, 95.7 The Game.
Joe Lo and Dibs continues on 95.7 The Game.
Former head coach of the San Francisco 49ers, NFL Network analyst, 95.7 The Game football insider, Steve Mariucci with Joe Lo and Dibs on 95.7 The Game. Coach, it's always a pleasure to have you on. I want to get into the X's and O's of the Niners in just a bit, but I wanted to start with this. The San Francisco Giants are introducing a new manager today in Gabe Kapler. Now, you know what it's like to take over a football team, to step in on day one. When you arrived in San Francisco or any of your other stops as a head coach, what message do you try to convey early to your locker room, to your clubhouse, to your fans? How do you go about that day one approach?
Yeah, that's it's always an interesting dynamic. Good morning, guys. I think his first order of business is get to know as many of those players as he possibly can personally. Get around the building, understand who you're working with, and develop a relationship with people. But they've got to know that you're there for business, to win. You got a plan. You're competent. It's a process. There's a first impression, of course, but I think you got to be consistent over the long haul. So when I went to the Niners, you know, the first thing that I did. During hiring staff and that sort of thing, just get to know the players, the Steve Youngs and the Jerry Rices and the Brent Jones and those kinds of guys who are going to be your leaders on the team and start developing a rapport with them.
I want to ask a follow-up on that, but first, Steve Mariucci brought to you by Gelati Construction Company, celebrating over 100 years of teamwork, solutions, and excellence. You followed a legend in George Seifert. Gabe Kapler's following a legend in Bruce Bochy. What advice would you have for him?
You know, the first meet, I remember very well, the first meeting that I ever had with my players, I said to them, I'm not Bill Walsh. I'm not George Seifert. I'm me. And a lot of the things that we'll do will be the same that you've done over the years. But allow me to be myself, just like I don't want you, Steve Young, to be Joe Montana. I don't want you, Terrell Owens, to be Jerry Rice. I want you to be yourself. Give me your best effort. You're going to get mine. And if we all work well together and work as hard as we can, will succeed. And so, you know, following a legend is not easy because you're going to get compared every day of your life by the media, by your team, especially if you don't start off fast. That's the most important thing. But, you know, he'll be fine. It's a great organization. It's a great fan base. And, you know, it'll be fun. And Bruce was so awesome. What a career he had, huh?
Yeah, and it may not be over, Bruce intimating that he may have other stops in his future. But for now, we turn our attention to football, where the 49ers suffered their first loss of the year against Seattle on Monday night. What's the biggest challenge for Kyle Shanahan in dealing with this first dollop of adversity?
You know, sometimes, you know, everybody would love to be undefeated, okay? And I know the Miami Dolphins from the 72 team are celebrating because there's no undefeated team again this year. It's very hard to do that. But sometimes these losses can serve as a wake-up call, a reboot, you know, something where you can just say, hey, we're not perfect. Let's really focus on our inadequacies. Where do we have to get better? And they do have to get better because it was a great start of the season at 8-0. But, you know, and there's certainly going to be a one-game-at-a-time concept. That's how Kyle will do things. And they've got the Arizona Cardinals coming to town, who they've beaten already in a close game a couple of weeks ago. But when you look at it, you better be bringing your A game every week, because from now on, they're playing great quarterbacks, okay? They're playing their defense. Robert Saleh has been doing a great job, but he knows full well that they got to be better, because Kyler Murray, the young rookie quarterback, is having a sensational rookie season. We all know that. But look at the quarterback that they're going to be facing here coming up. How about Aaron Rodgers comes to town? Yeah, he's been the MVP a couple times. How about they're going to go to Baltimore? Lamar Jackson might be the MVP this year. And then they go to New Orleans. How about Drew Brees? He's no schlup. All right, how about Matt Ryan comes to town? They just beat the Saints. Then they got the Rams again, and Jared Goff has been spectacular at times, a little down this year. And then they go back up to Seattle against Russell Wilson. So now this second half of the season, the defense has got to be better, got to stop the run better, the whole thing. But, boy, a lot of great quarterbacks are going to be facing the Niners coming up.
And no question, and especially those mobile quarterbacks seem like they give them the Niners a little bit more fits because they are mobile and able to do some things. How do you go about, you know, getting ready for a guy like Lamar Jackson, getting ready for a guy like Kyler Murray, and knowing that you have that could be the MVP in Russell Wilson again? What does this team need to do, in your opinion? Because these are athletes. These are guys you can't just say got a game plan. They're going to get theirs. How do you combat? What are some of the plans that you would do, Coach?
Yeah, and I can't clump them all in the same style of play. They're all great in their own way because Lamar Jackson plays differently than Matt Ryan does, okay? So each game plan happens to be a little bit different. And the Niners did a heck of a job with Russell Wilson, you know, sacking him five times. You know, they pressured him. Where they didn't play as well, or they haven't played as well statistically, is stopping the run. Run the ball and stop the run has been Kyle's MO the whole time. And, you know, the Niners didn't run the ball like they usually do, only 87 yards rushing, and they gave up 147 yards. They've given up an average of 150 yards over the last three games, and that's not them. That's not how they've been winning. It's a little bit like the Green Bay Packers started off sacking quarterbacks like crazy, but then giving up a lot of yards on the ground. So they got to get that fixed a little bit. You know, it obviously on offense, it really hurts not to have George Kittle. And when Emmanuel Sanders went out with the ribs, that was a tough deal too. You're playing with a lot of other guys and who are good players, but not as good as the two I just mentioned. So they've got to get that. They've got to get that healthy. They will. I believe those guys will return. Robbie Gould will return. McLaughlin did a heck of a job getting three field goals, keeping them in that game. But it was unfortunate at the end there. So there's little things here and there. But this is a good reboot for the Niners. It's like refocus. All right, let's move on. We're 8-1. We still have the number one, you know, seed. And we're in good shape here. Now let's just get busy with Arizona.
Steve Mariucci with Joe Lowe and Dibs on 95.7 The Game. All right, so it's a tie game. It's overtime. Seattle's out of timeouts. The Niners have the ball somewhere around their own 20. There's a minute 50 remaining. A minute 50. So when you factor in three plays, no Seattle timeouts, and the play clock, mathematically, there's no way Seattle should win that game. If you want to just take three knees, and I'm not suggesting you take three knees, but if you take three knees, you can run that clock out. Seattle never gets the ball back, and you get out of there with a tie. Instead, the Niners went throw, 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 incomplete, 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 gave the ball back to Wilson. He drove him down, and he won that game. Would you have approached it with the same aggression the way Kyle Shanahan approached it?
You sound like Eric Parsegian. You know who that is, guys?
Head coach Notre Dame.
He went for the tie against Michigan State in 10-10 tie in 67, all right? And he got, to this day, they still talk about it. You play to win the game, all right, Herm Edwards? That's what you do, and that's what Kyle Shanahan was trying to do. Yes, he could have done exactly what you said, but I'll guarantee you 70,000 people would have been really upset about that. You play to win the game, and, yeah, it's unfortunate an incomplete pass will stop the clock. You call the pass to complete it. You think you're going to complete it. You should have about 70% chance to complete it, and that's just the way it fell. I don't think playing for the tie there entered anybody's mind.
Good stuff as always. Former head coach of the Niners, 95.7 The Game Football Insider. You can catch him on the NFL Network as well. Steve Mariucci with Joe Lowe and Dibs on 95.7 The Game. Coach, we always appreciate the time. Thanks so much for coming on.
All right, guys. Talk to you next time. Thank you.
You got it. You want the good news or the bad news?
Let's start with both. Let's start with the bad.
The injuries keep mounting. Breed has got an ankle. Emmanuel Sanders, it's rib cartilage damage. So there's nothing definitive on this. Kyle Shanahan said he's just day-to-day and he'll likely be a game-time decision. That doesn't sound like something that goes away quickly. Is rib cartilage damage just going to be around for the rest of the year?
Yeah, you shoot it up. Joe, that's where you just get that little... Go see the doctor. Go see the doctor.
That's great rap reference from the 80s right there. George Kittle had the rib cartilage last year, and he was able to play through it. He's one of these tough guys you hear about. It doesn't sound very pleasant, Lo.
It doesn't. You're in pain. Even when you shoot it, sometimes you got to even go back in halftime and redo it again.
I'm sorry to interrupt, but where do you shoot up for rib cartilage damage? Does it just go into like the rib area?
In between the ribs.
There's no meat here. I have to take injections for cholesterol every 2 weeks, but you grab a nice piece of stomach fat and you put it right there. It's no big deal. I got a nice big roll I can just grab like this. You see me doing it now, and you just go pop, and it helps with the LDL. I'm bringing that LDL down, that bad cholesterol.
Yeah, you don't get to just go pop in the fat.
No. I was going to say, you don't have, if you're Sanders, you ain't got no fat anywhere, let alone the ribs. So you're just injecting right into that area?
And just move it around. When you inject that long needle, then
it's so good.
How long is it?
Oh, it's a couple
6 inches.
At least.
At least
4.
So 6-inch needle.
I've had cortisone. I've had all kinds of injections in my knee, and those are usually in the 4-inch range because the knee, you don't have to go that far. When you're talking about rib cartilage, even if you're a slender, muscular guy, you got to get it in there in between the ribs, inject it. That way
ribs. It's got to go through the ribs.
No, here's the thing, though. You're not pushing it all the way in, Joe. You're barely getting this, and then you're moving it to the left, to the right.
You and him are saying
to the left, to the right.
So in a little bit, and then
boom,
turn
pump,
and push.
Baby, pump.
Yes.
Why?
Because you want to spread it. You want it to dissipate throughout the whole ribs. And you're when he's doing it, he's mashing on your body and moving it around.
Let me see that needle roll.
Exactly.
Did you ever have that in your ribs?
Oh, yeah. Ribs, knee.
Where's the worst place to get the shot? Not the butt. The butt's, it's fine.
Cushy.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. There's a lot back there, especially you. You got two Thanksgiving turkeys back there.
Yeah, I got a little
junk in the junk.
I didn't even feel it, Coach. That's what you'd be saying.
I slapped that thing first, though. You still want it to be
You let him know. You let him know. You give him a little pat.
Yeah.
Come on.
Slap it a little bit. But
the worst?
Warm it up, Chris.
The ribs, though, is worse.
I'm about to.
Because you're just going in there, and I'm going to tell you, the neck was tough. When I had to go into that neck.
I quit.
My neck and my back.
Oh. I would quit.
And you go into the neck.
I would sit out the rest of the season. I'm like, I'm not getting that shot. I'm hurt. I can't play.
And he starts grinding in your neck, and you just like, and you feel it hit the little bone. You want to jump. Like, just relax. Breathe.
Ankle's no picnic either because you got no flesh. Any of the non-fleshy areas, that's where you don't want. Like the shoulder, not pleasant. The knee hurts, but you talk about the ribs because, like you say, you got to get in there,
move
and then you
got
to push the plunger in there and get the feel good to get coursing through and just in the spot.
I'm done. If I'm Sanders, I'm done. I'm shutting it down. I'm not getting that. I'm just, hey, for who, for what?
They got to.
You just lost on Monday. It's over. I'm out of here.
You need
8-1. You're not going anywhere.
You need him. You need him.
Kittle yeah, you need him. That's the problem here.
Kittle
you need
may
him.
Not be playing again. You need him.
What's with all the? Is this too many injuries? Like, we're close to it, so we document this more than anybody else. Is this too many? It feels like too many. It feels like every damn week there's another star going down with an injury. It feels like every week.
Yeah,
every week.
It's around the league. It's every team that's suffering some of these injuries.
Some. Doesn't this feel to be excessive?
It does, but you look at early, everyone was candy corns, unicorn. Everyone's having a good time. But we talked about it earlier, Dibs, and I said, the biggest thing, I said, you're running a ball a lot. I said, you're going to start getting injuries,
you
too.
You said it.
Because of the fact it's just you're pounding, and you're taking big shots. So you look at Kittle on a run game, on a running play. You look at some of these guys.
Marquise linemen, Goodwin on a run play.
These runs at times, you're going to get guys get beat up, bro. So they're going to get beat up. The good thing is, it's next man up. You got some teams, and you got a good defense. And you put a little bit more pressure now on the defense. You're going to be a little bit more pressure on them because your offense is going to be very limited. The biggest thing Jimmy G can't do, you can't turn the ball over. Live to fight on another day.
Yeah, no problem.
Take the sack.
Just stop turning it over, Jim.
Take what? Take the sack. Your defense is – we all talk about how this defense is good enough to win a championship. Punt the darn ball. Go play defense, get in low-scoring games, and just say, we cannot – you can't help the other team, but you cannot not turn the ball over, especially on a short field.
Ugh.
You had some good news, too, Joe.
Yeah,
we started with the bad, and you were going to come back with the good. The good news is –
there's actually even more bad. I love Shanahan calling out Pettis. I love it. We can get to that later. We'll do the good. My ribs hurt. My mind has now convinced my ribs to start hurting.
I kid you not, because I have a legit phobia of needles, so I was getting major anxiety just listening to that.
Legit phobia of needles?
I cannot,
so what do you do when you have – you've had blood drawn up your
ribs?
Yeah,
I've had plenty of – oh, imagine
your
having
been
two
hurt. We should do your ribs. You can do it.
It's okay. Just
you hurt your
you.
Ribs sneezing, from what I understand.
No, this was from when I had pneumonia. And it's just been –
you got a rib injury from pneumonia?
From coughing. Yeah.
So you've injured it sneezing and coughing.
Yeah, all of the above.
I didn't even know that was possible.
Yeah.
Man, just a throat clear away from a hat trick there.
Yeah.
That's true.
I did a lot of that lately.
Just tore my ACL, cleared my throat. It's brutal. It's brutal, Coach. Yeah, needle in the ribs. Go ahead and pick out any two of your ribs, and then take your pinky and press as hard as you possibly can, and times that by about 100.
I always love it when you come in relating to the pro athlete.
I relate to the medical procedure, Joe.
Joe, let me tell you how this works. It's like, all right,
what
this should be
interesting. What you don't understand is when
you've undergone
the medical procedure,
about Emmanuel Sanders.
You can speak to the medical procedure when you've had the medical procedure. When you've coached teams, you can speak to what it means to coach a team. I've never coached in the NFL. I've coached for about 30 years. So you can speak to what it takes and the various things. And when you've had surgery on a torn labrum, you understand exactly what it is to live with screws in your shoulder. So, yes, I never swam the 100 meters. I have swum 100 meters, but not in the Olympics. So you can speak to certain things if you allow yourself to broaden your horizons a little bit, Joe.
They've already started advertising for the Olympics on NBC. I can't believe that's right around the corner.
Wait.
The good news is that the Packer game got flexed into Sunday night. The announcement came down the other day, originally set for 1:25 p.m. Pacific. It's going to be Aaron Rodgers, Jimmy Garoppolo, and the rest of the boys taking each other on 5:20 p.m. Pacific, NBC. Al Michaels, Chris Collinsworth on the call. So another primetime game for Levi Stadium this season. That's a good one, too.
It's going to be a great one, but it's a little extra time, a little 4 extra hours, Dibs, to get healed up. All these injuries, huh?
And Guido basically all but said that this is going
to
happen. Remember when he joined us and he's like, and we'll find out pretty soon whether or not that gets flexed. And he was kind of, I think, subtly letting us know that maybe he'd already been tipped off to the fact that it likely was going to be flexed.
Not a fan of them moving Seattle-Philadelphia out of that game. That's a good matchup. Not sure that game needed to be flexed out. How about a doubleheader? Disrespectful to Philly and Seattle is the way I see that.
You flex it.
Niners and Packers are done. It's all about the Eagles and the Seahawks. They're peaking right now. They're peaking. Philly's off that bye. Seattle's off that big win. That's what it's all about. I'm just kidding. That was at least a good game, though. They also have announced the Niners will be in primetime against the Rams towards the end of the season. It's a Saturday game. There's going to be a Saturday triple header in the NFL. I'm trying to get this date up here. I'm all over the damn place.
Make up.
So as we work our way down.
Last year they got flexed out of all these games, Dibs.
Saturday, December 21st.
Okay.
Saturday, December 21st. So you've got Christmas on that Wednesday. You're going to have a triple header all on the NFL Network. It's also going to air locally, KNTV, NBC. But it'll be Rams, Niners as the third of the three games that day. So you get another primetime matchup there on that Saturday.
And I love when the NFL gets to the Saturday because it tells you a couple things. One, we're getting close to college bowl season, which it's always fun.
You're right in the heart of it right there, Saturday, December 21st.
Exactly, and it also
right
tells you that we're close to playoff football. You get those Saturday NFL games, and I think they're smart now to go to the triple header format and put the Niners as that third game.
Very exciting. You're right, though. Flexed out of everything last year,
flexed into
everything.
Flexed in this year. There we go.
Shows you how quick it can turn.
I got a hold there, though.
Where are we at spread-wise for this Arizona game this weekend as we dabble before we get back to the Gabe Kapler conversation?
It's going to keep coming down. It's going to keep coming down.
You think so? We gave it out at 13.5 yesterday. We were ahead of the curve. As my odds page, of course, fails me at the one moment I need it today.
I can see it getting to 8 or 9.
That low, huh?
No way. It's not crossing through 10.
Oh, you don't think? I think it crosses through 10, especially with Sanders just getting injured now. And if Kittle doesn't play, I think it gets to 10, nine at least.
It is at 11.5 right now, but still plenty of time between now and then. That, if that crosses, 10's a key number.
If it crosses through 10,
that's big. Bad news for the Niners.
Who else is going to be on that list, though? If George Kittle, they say he's not going to play, and now you don't have Emmanuel playing. If you don't have Kittle.
Well, he's not ruled out. He's not ruled out. I want to make that clear.
Okay.
His day-to-day, he will be a game-time decision is what the coach said.
Shoot him up. He's our player.
And so just jack him in the
ribs. The first report comes out tomorrow, is that right, as far as – or maybe later today.
Today's Wednesday,
participation in practice. I think Joe Staley's another one because he's got the finger issue.
Fractured his finger.
Possible situation where he might have to have surgery and miss a couple games. How that might that affect the spread as well? So still a lot of injury question marks that we don't yet know the answer to.
On the flip side, and speaking of injuries, no Anthony Davis tonight for the Lakers as the Warriors travel south to take on your boy. It's a big one tonight. No Anthony Davis.
You were theorizing that might be the case.
Smart.
For load management with the shoulder issue. It's not load management because he's got a legitimate issue, but.
Yeah, they got to figure out what they're going to do with him throughout the course of the season. He heard it early in the season and then aggravated over the weekend. I think it was the Toronto game Sunday night. He was going for a dunk. So he's got this issue. He's dealt with it before. He's trying to manage it. He says it's not that bad, but you got to be careful with it. So they went out last night, and the first half of the back-to-back was Phoenix. You kind of want to send a message to them because they've been good this season. They win that game last night. Not a surprise to see he's going to sit tonight as the Lakers currently find themselves 9-point favorites over the Warriors. Your boy LeBron.
Yeah.
So you got to be excited for this one.
You know what I like about what the Lakers have done, and especially when you talked about LBJ? Early in the season, you watch him. He's a facilitator. And people are like, God, why don't he take over that game against Clippers? He's like, no. You like what he does. He gets guys involved, and then they start to gel because he wants everyone to know that, hey, look, I'm going to facilitate. This is what I do as well as I can take over. But it wasn't the need to. And I see now you see this team is really starting to come together. I think him and Anthony Davis, this is one of those couples that were like back in the day when Dwayne Wade and him was together, averaging 50 or more. I mean, when you get two guys that can do that for you on a consistent basis, you're cooking, and you're cooking in Crisco.
How dangerous?
Very, very dangerous.
The best?
You know what? When it all shakes out, they honestly, with all jokes aside, barring injuries for any team in the NBA,
of course,
they will be standing.
They're the champs this year?
They are. It's just too much. Too many weapons. Lock it. You can.
Yeah, come on now.
They'll beat the Clip show. I know everyone's looking at the Clip.
Second best team in their building. They don't win the Western Conference. They don't win the title.
We can do a little cider. We can definitely do a side. Whatever.
Little cider house rules. Yeah. Do a little side.
You and I.
A little side ski.
A little side ski.
A little side action.
What are you thinking? You get the Lakers. He gets the field?
No, he's just talking about. He said the second.
Are you taking the Clippers? It's just a Clipper Laker bet.
Yes,
that's interesting.
Yeah. Don't you grab.
No one knows Kawhi more than me.
They were in my ear about something else for the show, and it was Bob and the Billions. Bob and the Billions on hiatus. Shout out to all of you out there. We love you. We got so much to cover today that the shout out is just a blanket shout out to the 7.5 billion on the planet. We love you all. Thank you for continuing to listen to the program. You're saying Lakers. You're saying Clippers. Is that the challenge?
Take the field.
No, I know.
I heard something about the field. Wait, they were talking in my ear about. Absolutely nothing.
That was classic, though.
Some static.
First, he said they're the second best team, and then all of a sudden
in the building,
and then you came in like, oh, you want to? And he's like, oh yeah, let me have that. No,
I will take the field.
No,
Lowe, it's very generous of you.
So, is there a wager between the Lakers and the Clippers? Are we doing something?
Yeah, I told him whatever he'd like.
I think we could take a look at it. Yeah. I'm not ready to commit right now at 8:57.
You better back that truck up. Back it up.
I'll take the field.
Guys, I got to step out.
Right. The field.
Well, if you get the field, then what are you laying for him? It's not going to be an even money proposition
even
if you
money,
get the field.
Coach. Yeah. He already said it's over. Oh, he proclaimed it's over.
You said, not me. Check the tape. They're the second best team.
This is what happens. There's a proclamation. Yeah. You call the proclamation.
Right.
Then there's the backtrack. Yes. Then there's look at the clock, make a joke, get out. We've seen this time and time again.
OJ bet could come into effect.
OJ Betts is only really dealing with me, okay. I think. I don't think anyone else wants to step in on that potential right there. You never made that worth my while. You waited too long. I will no longer agree to that deal. I talked to enough bookmakers. They said I was going to be wrong. I was going to be wrong. All you had to do was throw it out there. I talked to four separate bookmakers in Vegas. They all agreed with you. And I was like, all right, so there's no way I will be making that wager.
Gosh darn it.
Yeah, it's unfortunate.
Really
unfortunate. We're back. What do you think of the Gabe Kapler hire? 888-957-9570. We're going to turn it over to you guys. Are you fans of the hire? Are you worried about the hire? Where do you land? 888-957-9570. Joe Lo and Dibs back in a flash. You're on 95.7 The Game.
I'm just saying.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.